Perfect. Hi, hello again, friends, and welcome into another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. This one, episode 44, titled Concrete King. And thank God I don't do it alone. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, and welcome in. And we got a cast of characters, a nice quartet, if you will. Let's bring him in. He's the he puts the create in show creator. He is the first half of tonight's Canadian combo. Of course, I'm talking about John Mayer's biggest fan, Adam Carabine. Adam, come on in here, buddy.
Hello, Logan. Hello. I'm wearing a John Mayer shirt right now. There you go.
Yeah, look at it. I tell you.
Represent.
I didn't even know. It's well hidden there by the microphone.
Yeah, you know. I wasn't going to advertise it, but you brought it out. You know, I got to represent. Maybe he's watching out there. So, John, if you're listening, big fan. Good to see you. And, yeah, happy to be here.
Hi, John.
All righty, Adam. We don't do it alone either. Next, we will bring in my better half, the best looking individual on this show. She puts the produce in producer, and I mean that not only for this show, but you ought to see her at the grocery store. She's checking out all the produce, making sure it's good to go. There's no bruises on those apples, I can promise you.
Making sure those eggplants are ripe. Yeah, is that right?
Absolutely. You got to make sure the melons are good and all that sort of thing. You know, cantaloupe, that whole deal. Let's bring her in. I don't know if she's Ryan Blaney's biggest fan, but he is certainly his quietest. Let's bring her in. Producer Peggy, come on in here.
Cantaloupe tastes like soap.
We are off to a rousing start.
When do I browse the produce section?
You have to understand that I was just saying something for your little intro.
It's a figure of speech.
Yeah. This first minute or two is just me coming off the top of my head and seeing what sticks. That's all it is.
Well, at least make it a fruit I enjoy.
What is your favorite fruit, producer?
This is so cringeworthy.
I really enjoy pineapples.
Good choice. Good.
All right. Final question before we bring in our special guest. Do you put them on your pizza?
Only if there's also cinnamon.
Cinnamon? Is this a thing? I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Some Hawaiian pizzas have cinnamon on them.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Donato's makes a mighty fine Hawaiian pizza.
You know, Hawaiian pizza was invented in Canada. I'm just saying.
Well, that's a good segue, Adam, yeah. Because I mentioned a Canadian combo, and this evening we have a special guest in the house. Look, he is the 32nd savant, if you will, for Raising Refresh. I'm talking about our favorite staff writer and yours. How's that, Peter? Was that okay? Was that all right? Was that nice?
Well, my brain went to 32nd as in 32, and I was like, we've had 31.
This poor guy's just been waiting and waiting. Let's bring him in.
Let's bring in our special guest, our favorite staff writer, and yours, Matt Marr. Matt, please save me. How the hell are you?
I'm good, Logan. How you doing? And on the note of Hawaiian pizza, yes, invented in Canada. I love pineapple on my pizza. Never put cinnamon on it.
Yeah.
That's never heard of it. Usually, if I'm putting pineapple, I'm going to have like some sort of spice, like banana peppers or jalapenos with it to kind of balance up the sweetness and the.
Oh, yeah. He gets it. I bet he likes trail mix. That's good stuff. Is that right that I missed episode 43?
You did.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Ain't that a daggum shame?
Oh, now you're stuck with Kyle Petty.
I file that under protest. Man, that is yeah. Tough.
We but missed Matt, you last week.
Matt, thanks for coming on, tuning in, and first of all, let me thank you for your contributions to RacingRefresh.com. You're a loyal soldier, and we thank you for it. And thanks for always chiming in. And welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good, Logan. I'm glad to be on the show. I've been wanting to be on here for a while. You know, as some people would say, long time listener, first time caller, but you know, long time commenter, first time on the show.
I like it. Yes, sir. There we go. He said long time listener, first time caller. All right, Adam. Any final thoughts before we delve in?
No, I don't think so. Happy to have Matt on the show. We've been talking. There's been rumblings about it. There have been some talks of sliding into DMs that hasn't happened. And finally, yeah, Colin couldn't make it today. And I thought, you know what, let's give Matt a call. Hopefully he can do it last minute. And he could. So he's here.
Plenty good of room to see you, Matt. You're in the flesh.
Welcome.
Hey, well, I'm living content, baby. I like it. All right. And before we get started, because we do have to, we have to delve in lots of racing and talk about. But of course, I want to give producer Peggy any final thoughts before we talk about what we're actually here for.
Am I one of the 31 savants?
No, when I said 30-second savant, I mean, he does the 30-second reads, and I was complimenting his ability to do so. There was nothing more to that than whatever you're going with. Anywho.
That's comedy gold. That is good. Lord.
Thank you again for the shout out on the 30-second reads. I do my best to have him in.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you. All right. For the love of God, let's get to our weekend review.
I'll be back later.
Excellent.
All right. Adam, I want to come to you. A man with the last name of Truex won at Dover again, but it wasn't old Marty. No, it was Ryan. It was Ryan. Did you dial in for this Xfinity race?
I did not. I was away.
A shirtless selfie.
I know. I was away for the weekend, so I was doing some stuff. I had to actually catch up on the Cup race late as well. But when I heard that Ryan Truex won, I was like hoping history would repeat itself. You know, bring Martin Truex back to victory lane too. He's been hungry. He's been sniffing it. He's been sniffing around for it. But it's been elusive for him this year. But yeah, Ryan Truex gets the dub at Dover, and congrats to him. Honestly, I mean, it's a tough track, and so I know he doesn't run like a full-time schedule, but to kind of show up every once in a while and compete and win a Dover 2 years in a row, I think that's impressive for sure.
Dub at Dover, nice alliteration, Adam. Matt Marr, tell me you tuned in to this Xfinity race.
I definitely caught the last handful of laps in the finish. I wasn't able to catch the entire race, unfortunately. But I have thoughts. I have a lot of positive thoughts. And I just want to say congratulations to Ryan Truex on the victory back-to-back, like you mentioned. It sucks in my mind that he doesn't have a full-time ride. I don't know if the interest isn't there or, you know, just a lack of funding to get that. But I am happy to see that whenever he does get the opportunities, he is in top equipment with Joe Gibbs. But I want to give a big shout out to Carson Quapel, end up finishing second, who had a great chance to get his first Xfinity Series win. Started towards the back, started 26, made his way to the front, and stayed in top 5, top 10 pretty well all day. You know, it's only his second career start. But I see a bright future with him, two-time car store champion, who's going to be making, I could see some more starts coming this year in an 88 form. But he has a very bright future in NASCAR with Junior Motorsports.
All right, you hit the nail on the head. That's another win at Dover for Ryan Truex. And you mentioned that it's a shame he's not got a full-time opportunity. Do you think this could change anything for him, man? I'll start with you, and then Adam, I'll come with you on that.
I don't think so. Only because for a lot, like same thing with like a lot of teams, a lot of drivers who, even though they perform well, getting the funding is definitely hard. We've seen Ryan Truex over a number of years, probably the last 10 years, you know, make limited starts here and there. He only has a couple of wins to his name, most recently at Dover between this year and last year. I don't know if he has anything prior to that myself. But every time he jumps into a car, he puts on a good show, gets a top five, gets a top 10. But again, like I mentioned, like a lot of drivers who are struggling to not only get into top equipment, but to be full time, they need the funding. And again, it's a shame because, you know, his brother Martin Truex, Cup Series champion, has been in the series and with NASCAR for, you know, over 20 years. Why doesn't his brother have that same opportunity to be full time?
Of course, that's not the first time brothers have had some different, let's say, luck or circumstance. I have long been a believer that Ty is the best Dylan, and yet Austin gets the nepotism. Anywho, Freddie leaves a comment here. Carson was so close to winning this past weekend. He believes that Ryan Truex will have a full-time ride in the next couple of years. You know what? You never say never. You never say never. Adam Cookie Cutter, Kane Eaton, Carbine there, bud. What say you on the Truex not named, Martin?
You know, when you look at kind of the trajectory of Martin Truex's career, he's kind of a late bloomer when it came to the Cup Series, or even just getting a full-time ride. He ran around in subpar equipment for a while, didn't really do much, and then all of his wins have kind of come in the back half of his career, I guess you could say. And so, I don't know, maybe there's something in the water there in New Jersey, wherever they're from, and maybe Ryan Truex is just working his way up there. You know, I think he's like 11 years younger than Martin Truex. There's a pretty big age gap between the two. So I think he could have a chance to actually be a good contender. He's only 31 or 32, I think. So yeah, I don't know. Give him a full-time ride. Let's see. I mean, one, two times at Dover, that's a hard racetrack, as I said. And I mean, I'm sure there are other drivers out there less deserving of a full-time ride that have one compared to Ryan Truex.
Certainly. Unfortunately, this sport has become, and I don't mean this disparagingly, but I think we can all agree, a lot of it is what are you bringing with you? It's not necessarily talent these days. And I'm not saying the people that get there aren't talented. That's not what I'm trying to say. But all kidding aside, sponsorship makes this world go around. Freddie says it's hard to find good little sponsors nowadays because a lot of companies are having a hard time keep afloat, let alone sponsoring someone. It's tough out there to find them. You're not kidding, Freddie. I mean, for years it was we associated one to two companies tops with a driver. Now, for most drivers not named Alex Bowman and a few others, and you know, Chase Elliott, it's a different company most weeks. I mean, just patchwork. Matt, any thoughts on that? The sponsorship struggles that just drivers face overall?
Well, I mean, as you mentioned, like there's very few handful of drivers that have, you know, full funding from their sponsors. Even in a scenario with Chase Elliott, he has, you know, probably four or five like sponsors who will like sell, like buy the entire car when it comes to it. Like Napa does most of the races, but you got UniFirst, Hooters, Exalta sometimes jumps on there. But, you know, Hendrick Motorsports kind of has like their own sponsorship that kind of go from car to car here and there. And sometimes it all depends on the situation, not just with the driver, but, like, you know, sometimes sponsors will jump on with just the entire organization and then they get, you know, put on different cars. Just look at Joe Gibbs with like their Stanley and like their interstate batteries schemes and everything like that. And even with RCR now with like their that cannabis sponsor, I can't even remember how to pronounce it, but like their the Morgan Law, like they have on there as well.
3Chi, is that how you say it?
I'm not sure. But I mean, yeah, it doesn't really matter like what level of racing you're in, finding those good loyal sponsors who will, you know, even if it's a small part of the car, hood, whatever, what have you, it's difficult to find those who will jump on and you know, be loyal to you, because not only are you have to represent them, but you have to have a good show on the track, and you have to be able to make sure, you know, they're getting TV time, right? So what's your equipment like? What, like, are you able to put on that show? I think in a situation with Brian Truex, where he is able to do that and be in getting those top fives, top tens, and now with a consistent back-to-back wins between last year and this year, he's showing that he can, but it's just a matter of how much does Joe Gibbs want for sponsors to jump on, because it's not cheap.
That it's not. No, that's one way the sport has evolved a lot in the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, it was not that long ago. I mean, we probably for all of us, maybe not you, Adam, but I mean, Jimmy Johnson and Lowe's was the last, like, that was, I mean, at this point, Alex Bowman and Ally kind of follows in that same vein. But Jimmy Johnson and Lowe's, I remember doing in one of the many early alliterations of this podcast discussing when Lowe's announced they would be departing from Jimmy Johnson. And that was earth shattering news at the time. It was, are you kidding me? You're going to drop a 7-time champion who has done, I mean, 83 wins for Lowe's. You know, we know the numbers for Jimmy Johnson ad nauseum. So yeah, that's just a way. And then we got, if we needed any questions about that, I mean, when M&M's and Kyle Busch and Joe Gibbs can't re-up, I should say Mars, not M&M's, but you get my point. But yeah, that's just the way the sport has evolved. It wasn't that long ago. It was still Jeff Gordon and DuPont, or in later years, the drive to end hunger and all that sort of thing. You know, Exalta. It wasn't that long ago, and now it's 5 or 6 drivers that have the tried and true. Well, that's, you can identify the brand with the car, and that probably hurts sponsors in some ways. That it used to be you could identify that brand, this car, bingo. And if you're a diehard fan like the three of us are, you still can. But instead of 1 or 2 brands, it's like 7 or 8 brands. And it puts a hurting on my pocket when you try to support a certain club. Freddie says Kevin Hart with Jimmy Johns was a bit of a shocker. Absolutely, it was. Adam, any thoughts on the sponsorship quandary that is happening in NASCAR?
Yeah, I recognize, like, as being somewhat of a newer viewer to NASCAR, I don't necessarily associate Lowe's with Jimmy Johnson in the same way that you guys do, probably. But even I've noticed a change just in the last like 4 or 5 years since I started watching. You know, someone like Denny Hamlin was always a FedEx guy in my mind, and he still has FedEx on the car occasionally, but they've really pulled back on their kind of full, you know, season long sponsorship deals there. And he's driving cars. And the weird part is, I think just like you get so used to a certain kind of color scheme, you know, that's partially why I think I like Martin Truex. He's always in the Bass Pro Shops, Camry there, looking sharp as always. But I mean, I guess not always. He occasionally has what is it, like Reesers or
Reesers and auto insurer, the home, yeah, and auto and whatever. Anyways,
but yeah, it's like pretty, you know, I don't know, you're not having a bunch of weird different color schemes, like you know, seeing Denny Hamlin in like a bright blue car is just seems wrong when you're used to like the white of the FedEx, you know. So yeah, I don't know. You've noticed a difference, but I guess that's what it takes to kind of keep those cars running and make it somewhat profitable, I hope, for the teams, right? So no one wants to dish out that huge money anymore.
Matt, any final thoughts on this discussion before we move it along?
In terms of sponsorship, not really myself. I mean, I think I said everything I needed to say about that. Just it can be tough out there when finding full time rides and sponsorship, and you need a lot of money.
Money. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Matt, any thoughts on the upcoming Xfinity Stars before we move on to Cup?
Yeah, I mean, everything between, like you mentioned, Ryan Truex. I mean, Carson Quapel in his limited start so far has been outstanding. I just want to point out what I think could be two generational talents that are climbing the ranks, and not only Carson Quapel, but also Connor Zillage. He's still only 17. He's made a couple of truck starts already. He had a good performance at COTA. Unfortunately, his bad luck just ended up, I think he finished 13th. I can't remember. But he's been outstanding in late models. He won the 24 Hours of Daytona, and I think it was an LMP2, something like that. It was the top tier one. And yeah, he dominated the ARCA race at Dover. I think he's gonna be one to watch to really be a next generation talent. And being currently signed with Trackhouse, the developmental driver, he's got the inside scoop. He's got the foot in the door. He's gonna be here for the long haul, I believe.
I completely agree. He also did, I believe, the majority, if not all, of last year's Trans Am Series schedule, which is nothing but road courses. So he's going to impress on the road courses for years to come, in my opinion. Connor's got a bright future ahead. Freddie believes he's got another big star. What say you, Adam? You think Freddie's onto something there?
I'm not up to, you know, I'm
all right, Matt. What say you?
Watching William Swalich in not only doing late models but also, you know, ARCA and late trucks. Between him, there's also Jake Finch, there's Luke Fenhouse. Like, these guys are coming up in the ranks. They're going to be the future of NASCAR in my mind. But as Freddie mentioned in the comments of William Swalich, he's also going to be the big name here. I think he's scheduled to make his Xfinity debut later this year for Joe Gibbs.
I believe so.
I don't know which track it's at on top of my head, but he's going to be one to watch. And like, just seeing everyone that's coming up and just making their debuts. Like, you also got to see Taylor Gray, who's been running well as well. In that 19 car so far in limited starts, he hasn't won yet, but he's been showing some good promise in doing so. And it's exciting to see these guys come up, and they're putting on like good shows week in and week out. Some really good racing, even down in lower ranks of late models. And I don't know, it's fantastic. It's exciting to watch. I'm really looking forward to seeing what these guys will do in their careers.
No, I think the future of this sport is in good shape. No, William Sawich is a great talent. He's a member of the Toyota pipeline, and by God, we love Toyota here on Nation Refresh for no particular reason at all. Anywho, Ty Majeski says it'd be nice to him to get a good run again, does Freddie? Yeah, it would. Look, there's a ton of talent up and coming. There's a lot of talent in the sport. If we can market this thing right, people, if we can get the right media rights deal and help and share the wealth a little bit for the teams, we can hit a boom period real soon. I believe that with everything I got in this old thumping gizzard. But we got to keep moving it along. Let's talk some cup racing, shall we? All right. So, Denny Hamlin, everyone's favorite driver, right? Right.
Sure, we'll call that.
We're all big fans of Daddy Dennis. He got it done at Dover. He tied Lee Petty on the all-time wins list with this dub. You know, he had did some arrow blocking there at the end. Adam, I'm going to come to you because I know you got something to say on this, I hope.
Well, gosh, just give me a chance, Logan. Gosh.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
No, it's good.
I'm like LeBron on an off night. I'm still passing the rock real well. anywho, let's discuss. Denny Hamlin gets another win. He ties Lee Petty all time. And look, he's the concrete king so far. Bristol, Dover. You know, he's getting it done. What are your thoughts? His third win of the year.
I mean, I know I don't want to completely, jump ahead to what we're going to talk a little bit later about championships and stuff, but I feel bad for Denny in a way. You know, he's easy to hate, and I know he's kind of embracing that role right now. He's kind of playing the heel a little bit, probably too much, if you ask me, although it does make it exciting. It makes it, you know, something different to see just a bunch of people who are all happy all the time, but it's...
I hate that guy.
I know he's easy to hate. He really is, but he backs it up on the track. You know, he's got great results. He's got three wins now on the season. He just tied Lee Petty all time. Like this guy, you know what? He certainly talks some, you know what, but he backs it up, and you know what, credit to him for that. I don't love his personality, but I find it hard to just like completely root against him because of his, it's kind of, I don't know if he's quite as good as Kyle Busch, but when Kyle Busch was on his, like, you know, he's mellowed recently, but when Kyle was like at his peak, like just awful, you know, terrible attitude all the time, it was still hard for me to root against him in a way, just because you can't, I don't know. For me,
I still root against him. I can't
really, I know. I mean,
every single week.
I get it. I understand why there's people who feel that way. For me, I don't know. I got to give him credit for doing it on the track and doing a good job. So I don't know. I know some people were annoyed by the arrow blocking at the end, and I don't know. It's just part, that's the name of the game right now. Like, you got to use the tools you've got, and it's not like anyone else would have done differently if Denny was in second place. So I don't know. Props to Denny. I hate saying it because I don't love him, but it's hard to find, you know, some valid criticism against this guy other than just a bad attitude sometimes.
Well, look, I don't disagree with the fact that he's one of the greatest of his generation. I mean, who knows with the kind of run we don't know how much longer he's going to run. Depending on where he ends up, he might be the greatest of his generation.
Yeah.
Depending on where you want to kind of define what his generation is. Like, right. I'm not denying the talent of Denny Hamlin. I have sung the praises of Kyle Busch's talent for years, despite my strong disdain for him for his on-track behavior. By the way, he broke out a little bit of it this week because he was a little mouthy towards Martin Truex's crew as they were moving the car through it. He goes, just run me over. That's cool. He's not nearly as mean as he used to be, but he's still just as cantankerous, if you can't tell. Grumpy fellow. But anywho, look, I don't take away from Denny Hamlin's talent. Again, he's a generational talent. There's no denying that at all. But I'll talk more in depth about my issues with Denny Hamlin a little bit later on in this show, because it has a lot to do with comments similar that he made in the post-race media session. But Matt, let's talk about it on your end. A lot of Denny Hamlin love. I think I'm back on some sort of other media publication. Well, what's it?
So the man has 54 wins, and he has 54 wins for a reason. He is a damn good driver. Given that, credit's due. And comparing him to Kyle Busch in terms of his, like, heel act, his like attitude and like that has grown on him recently in the last few years. I watched an interview that Kyle Busch was doing a couple days ago, kind of like the differences in terms of culture between like Joe Gibbs and RCR, and he mentioned how Joe Gibbs, it's like the pressure is there to win every week, and if you're not winning every week, then something is wrong. Whereas RCR, you know, they're typically expected to go, you know, between anywhere from 10 to 15th. And if you're finishing 12th that day, you know, they're okay with it. There's no qualms. There's no nothing. There's no worries about it. I mean, if you're finishing top five, that's a great day. But, you know, there's no pressure for him to be winning every race every week. So he does. That's why he probably seems happier in that culture, in that setting. You know, and maybe that's why we're seeing Denny in the light that that we are now, being, you know, having that heel act of, you know, saying, I, you know, beat your favorite driver. Like, I mean, yeah, it's working towards against the fans. It's getting people riled up. It's putting on a good show. I mean, yeah, what I call him a generational talent, I think he's definitely the best in his generation in terms of, you know, because I think in terms of his generational class, like, you know, you had guys like, I mean, Martin Truex, I would have grouped together Hamlin, Truex Jr., Clint Boyer, the guys that he kind of entered the Cup Series with, to kind of be his group, grad classes, as one might equate that to. The one thing he's really missing is that championship. He's done everything else. And the one thing that Martin Truex is really missing is that Daytona 500. So it's the one thing that Denny Hamlin has three of. So I guess it all depends, what do you value more, the Daytona 500 and the number of wins or the championships?
Yeah, we're going to break that down a little bit more here in just a bit. Now, I think Denny Hamlin in kind of a sense of basketball is big right now. By the way, let's ask that question in just a second, and we'll get this point out, and then I'll ask.
I just wanted to mention something here real quick. They're looking for. But I did want to mention, like after watching, I don't know if you guys have watched that, the NASCAR playoff Netflix docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
But when watching that, Hamlin mentioned that it's not that he doesn't care about winning the championship at this point in his career, but he cares about trophies. He cares about winning races week in and week out when he can.
I mean, isn't that easy to say when you're at his stage of his career and you haven't won a championship to say, well, yeah, I don't care so much about that. Like, you know,
I bet he loses sleep. I mean, it's probably still in the back of his mind of, like, you know, he should have one.
Mm-hmm.
There's been very close chances of him having, you know, let's say even three championships, you know, 2010, I think 2013, like there's been times where he should have one, but it's just never, the luck wasn't there to put him in that position.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thought. It really is. I look at Denny Hamlin, he's kind of Kobe Bryant-esque, right? The GOAT debate in the NBA tends to be Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Despite the fact that Kobe, you can make an argument, is just as good as either one of them. And when we talk about who's in the GOAT conversation from this era, Kyle Busch is certainly it, right? That's pretty much who we have settled on. The comparisons to Richard Petty have been numerous ever since getting 200 overall wins. We don't ever, for some reason, for whatever reason it may be, we don't look at Denny Hamlin in quite the same GOAT status light, and it can't be a personality thing, because Kyle is certainly, again, even now, still very cantankerous, despite not being nearly as quite blunt and rude as he used to be. Freddie brings up a good point. He thinks he believes Denny's going to hit 60 before he retires. So let me ask this question, and then we'll move it along.
I mean,
does he hit 60, and how far does he go? You know, it wasn't that long ago. Matter of fact, I think we brought it up on this show last year when Kyle Busch had his hot streak, that we wondered how far Kyle Busch was going to go. Madam, we'll start with you. How far does Denny Hamlin go up the wins list?
I'd say he easily hit 70. I mean, realistically, he has three right now. We're only, what, this is race 8?
That was 11, I believe.
So we have 25 races to go. Six more wins to get 60 isn't out of the reach. I say he could easily hit 70, 75 before he thinks about hanging it up. Again, there's no denying Hamlin's talent. He's smart. He is cool in the racetrack. He can race any type of track. It's just the consistency to get those championships isn't there.
Adam, what say you? How far does Denny go? You know, Matt mentioned 60, 70 plus. How about this? Can he hit that number? And if so, can he pass Dale Sr., who I believe sits at 76?
I don't know if I can go that far, Matt. I don't know if I'm ready to go 70 for Denny Hamlin. I think 60 is reasonable. I think 60 is doable. And I think just especially with the way the next gen car is designed, I think there's too many wild cards as far as like NASCAR is basically attempting to have a different winner every single week. They want to keep parity up. And so I don't know if we see anyone really dominate a season like we had the Kyle Larson 10 win season.
Yeah, but you can't say that NASCAR is trying to have different winners every week when Hamlin's got 3 wins, William Byron has 3 wins, and like, yeah, there's other people have had like 1, maybe 2 other wins.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I just don't know if this, like, if that winning percentage is sustainable over the course of a season.
And, I mean, it was in 2020. Why is it now? I mean, this could end up being a similar season to that where we saw Hamlin Harvick dominate the whole year. This could be a Hamlin and William Byron show this year.
Right. But they're making a, you know, and I'm not taking a side here on this debate. I'm going to let you Canadians settle it. But here's a sidebar, and then Adam, I'm going to let you head the floor. But they're making a better effort to have parity. In 2020, they weren't. This car is all about parity. That's why they won't add horsepower for the most part. Adam, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just a new car, right? Like 2020 was, I think, the last year of the Gen 6. So it's a little hard to compare. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you're way off wrong. That's the Canadian in me, like, running away from this conflict. But
I'm not really comparing like the car from this time to car to last time. I'm just talking like the attitude and like just, you know, again, we're seeing two drivers now who are in a sense having a dominant year,
right? I also think if Denny doesn't win a championship like this year or next, I could see him retiring pretty soon, because I think he's probably sick of that question, you know. Are you going to win the championship this year? Does it bother you that you haven't won one yet? I don't know if I see him sticking around as a driver in the sport. I think he would move more to like executive role with 2311 and maybe doing, you know, part-time, you know, the occasional start in a third car for 2311 or, you know, have an extra car. But I don't know if he makes it to, I don't know if he hangs around long enough to make it to 70.
Interesting debate nonetheless. Let us know in the comments what you think. How far does Denny Hamlin go?
I was also going to add this, Logan. Sorry. This was,
you cut off Canadians, folks.
Yeah, I know. Come on, we're doing it. Go ahead, buddy. This was the reason that Denny doesn't have a championship.
Eesh. Eesh. Eesh.
I mean, that's one of them. Like, he had like 3 good years that he could have had one.
Yeah.
Well, hey, at least his pit crew didn't put the wrong tires on. I mean, that's
you know, when you've already got a championship in the bag, you know, it's less pressure. You just, you know, you're taking.
Yeah, but 2's better than 1. We know this.
I know. God. Oh, I wish I could talk about championships. All right, let's keep on moving it along. Let's keep on. I do love you, Canadians.
You're outnumbered today.
I'm in a foursome here of Canadians. I mean, there's so much bacon, so much sizzle, so much ham.
Now, Logan, I'll take over for a second because we're going to ask you a question here. We were talking about young up-and-coming talent.
I got answers.
And, we were talking, you know, we didn't talk about Corey Heim. Corey Heim, young and upcoming talent. Filled in for the ailing Eric Jones in the 43 this week.
You're right. How would I forget about Corey Heim?
Little Heim time.
Heim time. The Heiminator.
Now, which question, Adam?
I just, you know, how did he do? I'm sure you were probably falling closer than I did.
Because let me paint the picture and try to do it quickly. All things considered, I thought he did well. I mean, 25th, and frankly, he could have did better than that had a couple of cautions gone his way, because there was that odd caution where we got half the field on a different pit strategy now. He could have cracked the top 20, maybe even the top 15. Midway through stage 2, he was the fastest car on the track. He said that he was starting to figure it out. I listened to the scanner on the 43 because I have a problem. And so, no, I was pretty impressed because not only that, the regular crew chief for the 43 went home due to a family matter, a family emergency. So it was a whole new battery, as they would say in baseball, for the 43 this week. So I thought all things considered, I was pretty impressed. He'll be back in the 43 this weekend if Eric Jones is not cleared. Eric Jones says it's a week-to-week thing. I watched his whole media availability this weekend. So if he's not clear, he'll be back in the 43. Beyond that, who knows? Jimmy didn't close the door, maybe driving the 43 afterwards if need be.
Yeah, I think that didn't they say, you know, as long as Eric Jones is out, you are the guy. That was kind of,
that's what they said in the, like the press, but then, and then, yeah. But then Jimmy did a media availability before qualifying Saturday and said, we haven't looked much beyond Kansas. But he didn't rule out, him personally driving the 43 if need be.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Not that I think he will, you know, cause he splits his time between here and Europe.
I mean, Hyman is the reserve driver for both Legacy Motor Club and the 2311.
Yeah, absolutely. But I got to tell you, I would kind of like to see another seven-time champion in that 43. It'd just kind of be a cool photo op, wouldn't it? Just
well, for, especially since, like, just for, you know, weekend? Like Jimmy's throwback, I think it was 2020 and his retirement year. You know, he had all three paint schemes on that 48 car.
Yeah, I would. I don't know how well he'd do these days. You know, his next gen runs have not been.
Well, considering the 32nd at Dover with favorite track, it all comes down to also, and something that actually Dale Jr. mentioned on his podcast was because like, with instances like Jimmy Johnson, even like Dale Jr.'s instances of running Xfinity, the lack of practice and like no practice really, you know. Guys can't get adjusted to the new car quick enough. There's no just time to get situated.
Yeah, get acclimated in the sense that, no, Jimmy said publicly, he goes, I'm advocating for more practice. We should have at least 45 minutes. And I for one agree with him, but that's, not, you know, I've had my practice discussions on this show at length. Let's keep
was moving. Was this Corey Heim's? Sorry, was this Corey Heim's first Cup start?
Yeah, it was his Cup debut. It's in the 43, the old throwback STP. Thanks to Tree doing some
Jimmy finagle. Johnson's had a few chances in this car already to try it out. Like this is Corey Heim's literally first race in this car and finished better than old seven time there. So.
Yeah. In Jimmy's defense, you have to kind of unlearn everything you knew. Where right. Corey Heim kind of comes at it from the perspective of, you know, let's just see what happens. You don't, a blank canvas. He's learning that the oven is hot. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I thought he did very well, all things considered. Hopefully he has another good run in Kansas if he absolutely is needed. Those of us that love the 43, I'm praying for Jones at least four or five times a day. We're hoping that back gets healed up. Come on, let's tough it out here. Do we see Corey Heim going to the Xfinity for Joe Gibbs Racing? Probably sooner rather than later is my opinion. Adam, any quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, he's certainly overperforming, if you can say that, in the Truck Series right now. To be honest, I was surprised he didn't get some sort of offer for this year to move up after last year. So, yeah. I think
Corey Heim has made some starts for Sam Hunt Racing between last year and this year in the Xfinity Series. But yeah. I expect him to move up to Joe Gibbs and also Taylor Gray to full time with Joe Gibbs over the next year or two.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting to see. Corey Heim's got a big opportunity at Legacy Motor Club. We'll see how long he has it and what he does with it. All right. Let's keep moving it along and let's touch on our happy hour headlines.
I just want to quickly mention that any debut that is better at Dover than Joey Logano's debut at Dover is a good day.
Well, hey.
I'm going to cut you off too and just say Corey Heim's Truck Series average finish this season through seven races for the Truck Series, 3.86. That is crazy good.
Heim time, people. Heim time. Wish he'd smile more, though. I'll tell you what, that Corey Heim looks like he looks grumpy, doesn't he? Ever see him on the best day of his life and the worst day of his life? Looks about the same. He looks grumpy. I just noticed that in the media availability. I'm like, put a smile on that face. Derrick Jones is smiling more, and he's got the broken back. Good Lord. Anywho. Did you all see the kerfluffle between Alex Bowman and his spotter, Kevin Hamlin?
Yeah.
What's the last name?
Yeah.
Something about those Hamlins.
I don't know what to really make of it. I get Alex Bowman's frustration. I am definitely on Kevin Hamlin's side of these things. I mean, I understand the frustration because Kyle, they're in a three-right situation coming up pit road. Larson, they're on the outside, and Hamlin comes up and squeezes him on exit. So there's not much Bowman can really do except back out unless he, creates more damage for his car or creates a crash on the exit pit road. And I mean, maybe Larson had some room to kind of give Bowman, but looking at pit road, there really wasn't a lot to give. But at the end of the day, Bowman is the driver. He has to make do with what he has, and just, his nickname's the Showman. So put on a show, go out there and earn your money's worth and get the win. He had a good car all day up until the last last restart, which, congrats on Daniel Hemric on getting it top 10. But I think if Bowman was not restarting behind him, he would have had a better finish.
Look, I thought Bowman was pretty impressive, but he kind of had similar luck to Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick was real strong all day and then faded late. I'm like you, Matt. I'm kind of team Kevin on this. Look, you got to – But also, I understand heat of the moment. Martin Truex's radio, from what I understand, is a battleground, and I don't understand how that's acceptable. But it is what they like live with it.
So the fire's pit crew over the radio before. Let's just put that to fact.
I'm too sensitive for that. Y'all, hell with y'all. Like even in the heat of the moment, if y'all can't treat me with a little bit of respect, my feelings gonna get hurt, and I'm like, come on, fella. I'm on your side here. Why are we cussing at me? Adam, what are your thoughts on the kerfluffle? Freddie, you're right. It is. It's tighter than a tick's ass.
Yeah, it's a tight pit road for sure. I think somehow Denny Hamlin got through this whole situation without really being called out. And I felt like it was kind of Denny Hamlin's fault. Like, I felt like he was pretty aggressive there, pulling in and didn't really give Bowman much room. I felt like Bowman had that spot already, and I felt like it was more of Denny's responsibility to hang back a little bit because of that. But he just went for it, and I thought, that's kind of a dick move. Not, it's on brand for Denny these days, but I understand where Bowman's spotter is coming from, saying like, listen, no one's going to pull over for you. Like, you got to do it yourself. But I also don't love, like, you got to know that people are listening to the scanner, right? Like, I don't save that conversation for after the race in private, and kind of broadcasting that out on the scanner is unprofessional, I think, and not a great look. So,
yeah. Switching gears here, shifting perhaps. Oh. The All-Star format for this year at North Wilkesboro has been released. Adam, I'm going to start with you on this one. Your thoughts on another convoluted All-Star race?
I know. I got to pull up all the different rules and all these things. It's not as bad as I've seen in the past. We're looking at two heat races.
You can essentially put some buses on the track, and
I know, right? It's
put on a show, right?
I don't know. Like, why, if they feel like they have to do this to make this an exciting event, like, I'm not saying they should do this, but if they think that's what makes an exciting event, why do they not do stuff like this every week? Right? Like, I this is the All-Star race. It should just be your All-Stars battling it out for $1 million. Like, I think if you just had a normal race and the prize at the end was you win $1 million, I think they would drive the hell out of it.
And can you explain what the format is? Because I didn't get the chance to read it.
That's okay. Yeah, it just came out a couple days ago. So eligibility is anyone who's won a race in 2023, 2024. Mm-hmm. A points race, any past All-Star race winners who compete full-time and any NASCAR Cup Series champions who compete full time. So that kind of rules out. I know there was talk of like, oh, are we going to get Dale Jr. to come ride there or something? Cause he's won at North Wilkesboro before or something like that. That's not going to happen, at least according to this. So yeah, you've got first qualifying, you got qualifying for the open, which is the first kind of race. So two laps, the fastest lap counts. And then you're qualifying for the main race, but they get three laps, including a pit stop. And there's going to be the pit crew challenge as well. Then on Saturday, that's Friday, sorry. On Saturday, you've got two heat races. All the laps count, overtime rules in effect, but only one attempt for the overtime. The results of heat one establish the inside row. The results of heat two establish the outside row. And there's a special caution at lap 30 of each of those heat races that's going to let them do a mandatory four-tire stop. Then Sunday, you've got the All-Star Open.
I mean,
I know, right? It's just too much. It's too much. The Open is, you know, they've got the top two finishers move on to the All-Star race. And then the final All-Star race is 200 laps, et cetera. It's just, it's so, I mean, you need like a physics degree to fully understand it all. I mean, I'm overselling it. It's not super complex, but it's just like, I don't know, it seems so gimmicky, you know. And
yeah, I don't know,
hearing it just sounds like a lot. I don't see the point of having like the pit crew challenge necessarily at North Wilkesboro. It was kind of cool seeing it at like Charlotte in the past, only because, you know, you see guys come flying off turn four straight down with, you know, no speed limits, so they would come down, do their stall quick, and then just, you know, book it off the pit road. Excuse me, in the background, that's my cat. I will say, though, it's going to be exciting not just weekend for the All-Star race, but entire week, because earlier on during that week, you have both the pro late model and the late model stock car division of the car stores racing there as well. And like we'll see, guys. Like, and we also got the truck race, I think, that weekend, too.
Yeah.
Which
trucks are racing for points that weekend.
Yeah, but in which we'll see a truck debut of Brendan Butterbean Queen. Butterbean's just a nickname. who races in the car store, but he's making his truck series debut for a Tricon in the 11 or in the one truck, at North Wilkesboro, which I'm excited about see how he does.
No, I'm excited about it too. I want a points pan racing on the Wilkesboro, and I know that's the unpopular opinion because I know that he dominated. Well, it's North Wilkesboro.
Well, it just got repaved too. Like,
and the cars did a tire test. I think Cups did a tire test not too long ago too about that, and they said a lot of good things. Say how fast it's gotten. So seeing them at the All-Star race is going to be really really cool to see. And they got a couple different tire options now too. They have they have one that's made out of just a rain tire compound, but it's a slick.
Look, here's the only bright side of all these gimmicks, in my estimation. I get a little Kyle Busch-esque about these. Freddie can't wait to see Bowman Gray come back to racing. Same as The Rock, he means Rockingham, not Dwayne Johnson, though he was at the Daytona 500. even though we can keep Dwayne away, I promise. said that. So I want to see Bowman Gray back as well. We'll talk about that another time. Look, the only bright side of these gimmicks is this. Is it gives them something to try, and sometimes it really works, and they implement it the next year or two in the regular season. So I can appreciate that to some extent, but it's just become so convoluted. And I mean, I guess it's not quite as convoluted as Bristol was a couple years ago, where we had neon coming out from the damn car for some reason and looked like a strobe light. What are we doing? And so. The gimmicks kind of bother me because I'm a bit of a traditionalist, but oh well, I'll smile. And well, actually, unless I have rain, I'm not going to see that race that weekend. I'll be at a music festival, so Let's hope for rain on Monday. A little rain, and we'll do the Austin race Monday. All right, we said we were going to talk about Denny Hamlin some more. Let's talk about Denny Hamlin some more. Denny Hamlin feels worse drivers have won a championship. He's only focused on wins. All right, I'm going to get this started. There's a part of me that almost wants Denny Hamlin to win a championship. I said almost. Because I'm curious to see how his view on the championship would evolve. Because he does all he can to devalue it. Thanks for helping the brand, Denny. We appreciate that. And he puts it, you know, well, I don't, you know, well, 20 wins and one championship versus 60 and none. It's not even close. Is it? Is it? I mean, really? Championships, look, other than Daytona 500, championships are the name of this game. And frankly, I'm going to go ahead and say something really blasphemous here. As iconic as the Daytona 500 is, it is our most prestigious race, but it is still just one race. The championship is the whole kit and caboodle. It is all that in a bag of chips. It is what it's why you do what we do for 36 weeks. No disrespect to Daytona. No one loves that joint more than me. Nobody. But let's be honest, we don't do 36 weeks for Daytona. That's day one. All right, that's just my estimation. So I'm curious, and I'm going to start with it, Matt, on this one. Do you get a little fatigued on Denny, I don't know, kind of devaluing the championship? Because in my estimation, the only reason he does is because he doesn't have one.
See, I go back and forth on this with myself a lot on this because, you know, I'll be scrolling through social media and like people talking about the points system for the playoffs and how it should be kind of thing. I'm not set in stone that this is definitely not the perfect layout and format I think we have. Personally, I still much preferred the 12-man chase that we had back between, you know, 2006 and, you know, 2013. Because I feel like a value more consistency and getting in there even without having a win. But we have seen the flaws and pros and cons of like both that and even now the playoffs here. I don't think like the system is devalued by any way of, I mean, Denny's negative comments about it is obviously he's just mad that he can't pull off that win at the end. What I think is hurting the playoffs and that fact and kind of giving it a D value is they're not changing the championship race. You know, we've had it at Homestead for you know 20 years. They changed to Phoenix. And it's been there for the last four, gonna be 5 years now. And you know, we have set in stone, like I should say set in stone, but we have the few that who are really good there. Denny has been good there in the past. But he hasn't been able to really get in that final four to show it. But you know, tracks like Homestead, he's been really good at too. Now, I think a lot will have to do with if we can change that, if we can circumvent the championship race from going Phoenix, Homestead, Texas, Atlanta, what have you, these different ones, I would say avoid the big super speedways like Daytona and Talladega and even now Atlanta because of how much luck and by chance it is to actually get the win there. I understand his frustration, though, because in terms of you could have good first half of that that playoffs, have one bad race, and you are immediately out and don't have a chance, have a fighting chance of getting back in. But, again, this is the name of the game. You need to be good every single week to be able to fight for that championship. The only downside in which I kind of feel on this end is that you have a mechanical failure, something that's complete out of your control, and there goes your whole year.
Yeah, definitely, it's definitely a challenging system. Adam, what say you on Denny Hamlin's comments about, you know, and this has been a consistent theme. This is not breaking news from him really this week.
Yeah.
You know, what are your thoughts on him kind of devaluing the championship? Oh, that's good. Freddie's comment. I wouldn't mind seeing Texas or Vegas be Martinsville in the championship race, something different. We will touch on that in just a second, but Adam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it earlier. I think it's that's the line you got to say when you don't have one at his age. I think if he had a championship from like 12 years ago, he'd be like, yeah, championship's the best thing. That's how you measure greatness. You know, I think there's no way that he is saying this if he had a chance already. So, yeah, I don't know. I know there's people who really rebel against the system and you could win 35 races and lose the championship. Yeah, that's true, but that is no different than any other sports. You know, that is in football. You can have a complete winning season and lose the Super Bowl, and you lose, that's it. And it could be maybe your quarterback has a freak injury tripping up the stairs or something. Like, yeah, it's out of your control. It's just the nature of sport. Like, that's why we play the games. It's, you know, that's why we run the races. You have to, it rewards being, you have to get to the Final Four, first of all, which is difficult to do. And it's not like we've seen multiple years where like an undeserving driver is in the Final Four. Like every time we get to that Final Four, it's like, yeah, these four deserve to be here. They've had a good playoff run. They've had a good season. It's just how it goes. That's how sports is. You have to win. You have to win the big game to win it. You know.
I get it. The only thing
other sport would you lose the final game of the entire season, whatever that is, and still be crowned the champion, except for like maybe F1. Who cares?
But hold on, devil's advocate here, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I prefer this format, but no other sport has shifted their playoff format or their championship deciding format in such a major way. I understand both sides of the argument. Now, from an entertainment standpoint, and that's what this is all about, folks, I like this system better. But
if people want that, they can go watch F1 and they can watch, you know, them crown Master Staff champion right now, and then watch, you know, another 10 meaningless races after. Like, I don't, how is that exciting? Why is that better? I don't understand.
There is that segment of fans that are still, you know, damn it, back in my day, old man, you know. Matt, any final thoughts before we move on?
Yeah, like, but here's the difference there, Adam, like, in terms of, I guess you want to call it, like, comparing to F1, you have a clear winner who's going to win that championship. Yeah, he had one race where Carlos Sainz won a few weeks ago, but he's consistently winning races pretty well every week. Whereas, you know, if a guy wins 35 races in this format, and say Hamlin did win 35 races, and then, you know, Tyler Reddick or whoever won the championship race, that's, you know, he doesn't want to change it. Whereas in the F1 format, you know, they're still doing it just by pure points. So he gets, you know, wins 19 out of 20 races, whatever, and his point margin is still way above everyone else's. Whereas, and if we're comparing racing to other sports and games, still totally complete different thing. I know NASCAR is a team sport when it comes to the driver and the crew. You know, crews can still make mistakes, but as a team, say in hockey or football, you're relying on every single person to get that single goal, whereas you're only relying on your crew five or six times throughout the race day, where you are the single person on that track making the moves to get to that top spot, to be in a position to win that race. So a lot more, there's more pressure on you than the entire crew to – yes, there's pressure on the crew to get you out of the pits fast, but there's more pressure on the driver to take what you have to get to the front and win. So as much as, yes, this playoff format is entertaining, creates drama, is exciting to see when it comes down to the end, I personally still prefer the old Chase format Whereas, yes, you can still point your way into it, but consistency and getting those wins will get you that championship.
I think you both make some good points, but we got to move it along. We're running way over.
We do.
So let's move it along and let's play a little game we call Racing Refresh Picks. All right, Adam, give us the update, brother.
All right. Well, Logan, it's hard for me to be upset with you at this one. You won the week again, but you picked Truex Jr. So
I believe that's two in a row, isn't it?
Two in a row. Yeah, you haven't passed Peyton's 3 weeks in a row yet. But
let's get producer Peggy in here. Get her in here, please.
Producer Peggy maintains her lead.
Y'all wanted to count me out, but here I come like a Phoenix, boys.
But there you go. Yeah, Colin has fallen into last place, so not great. My pick of Keselowski was the worst, which means I get to pick first for Kansas. I don't know.
What is my first pick, isn't it?
Yeah, you're gonna pick for Colin. Whatever you pick is what Colin gets.
Oh, okay, all right.
But so you can sabotage him if you like, but he's got to show up. You know, you got to be here to.
All right, Matt, so how badly you want to be back on the show? Make a decent pick here, bud.
That's right.
When I say decent, I mean decent.
I am going to pick William Byron to have a bounce back race after a disappointing crash out of this past week. So Byron for me. Colin would be next. So Matt, you're up. Who are you going to pick?
I understand when you guys pick, you have a certain what drivers you can't pick again.
Yeah, so, you can't pick twice. So I'll let you know if you've picked someone that he's already picked, but
okay. You know what? I'm gonna go out of the hat here on this one, and Colin might hate me for this. But I feel like getting some fire in his veins from a pep talk from Kevin Hamlin, Bowman the Showman's gonna strike back of one of the first wins at Kansas Speedway.
There you go. Very good. Yep. He has not picked Bowman yet, so he's fair game. Producer Peggy, who you got?
Not feeling it, Matt. Go ahead there, Peggy.
I'm going to pick the Concrete King himself.
You picked the Concrete King in Bristol.
Left
it worked out well for you, but you can't pick him again.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Nice job, Pete.
Let me check on the my notes.
On the
oh, you're right.
Egg on
and
the
I write
face.
It down every time as you guys
pick. I write it down too, and yeah. You're
it
right,
didn't
you're
matter. Right. He said my screen's bigger.
Okay.
We're over time here, producer Peggy.
All right, I'm gonna pick. I almost said Kevin Harvick. Joey Logano.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, sorry. You picked Logano in Phoenix.
Oh.
Those notes are helping.
Well, thank you. Still trying to decide. I just want to give a shout out to Daniel Suarez, who has passed his U.S. citizenship.
Oh, did he pass it? I heard he was doing that, but yeah.
And Freddie says Kyle Busch wins at Kansas. He's not in the trucks this. He's not in the trucks this week, Freddie. You can check the entry list at racingrefresh.com.
That's a good pick, Freddie. Kyle Busch.
If she picked Kyle Busch,
you have not picked Kyle Busch.
All right, I'm getting
Logan. Bring us home.
Oh, for the love of Mike, here, boys! What a nice job, Peggy. You're great. I love you. All right. You know, man, can I take arguably the hottest? I don't know if I've taken him or not. No, I did take him, didn't I? I did take him. Never mind.
That's why you should write it down.
I'll take, you're so funny. It's worked out well for you. I had one mishap. You've had three. I'll take Josh Berry.
What did you say, but
Josh Berry. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to go. That wraps up Racing Refresh Picks.
All right.
We got to get out of here.
Every great episode must end. And so that means it's time for closing time.
I got to pull it up.
All right, Freddie, check those entry lists, racingrefresh.com. I put them hot off the presses myself about 4 or 5 hours ago. I was glad to do it. I love good entry lists. I like looking at the sponsors, seeing who's who. For what it's worth, Eric Jones is on that entry list. That doesn't mean anything per se. We'll probably hear tomorrow whether he's racing or not. I know he has an appointment, I think, tomorrow. So
I feel like it's doubtful.
I would say it's much more likely he's back for Darlington. Because that's his best track, arguably. And while he did look pretty good, it wasn't great. All right, anyway, it's closing time. So let's go ahead and hit them final words. Adam, you seem chatty. Go ahead. Final words.
Well, you know, we're running a little late and I gotta run soon. So I'm gonna keep it nice and brief. Matt, nice job. Thanks for joining us for pinch hitting today. It was a little bit of a last minute thing, so you did great. Thanks for joining us. And last week I promised you guys an episode of the Freshies, and I failed you. My stepdaughter forgot she was in the school musical. I was out to watch that a few times and time ran away from me. So we got Freshies coming out tomorrow. Check that out. And lots of other great stuff on the website. If you want to know more about it, just go check it out. RacingRefresh.com. There you go. And actually, you know what? I was multitasking. Nice. You can look right now and you can see Matt Maher's 30-second read. I literally just published right now. There you go.
I'll tell you what.
Thanks, buddy.
The man maximizes his time. Matt Maher, the pitch hitter himself, thanks for number one, thank you for coming on. Your final word, you have the floor.
So I do feel like because we ran so late is partially my fault. I did end up talking a lot. I had a lot to say about this past weekend.
It's your first day. You'll get better.
Thanks again for having me on, guys. I hope I get more opportunities to be on the show, and hopefully be on here with Colin as well, wherever the hell he is. But I'm looking forward to Canis this weekend, and it's going to be a good season. I'm happy to be on. Thanks again.
Absolutely. We will have you back. I for one, recommend it. And Peggy, Kansas coming up. Time for your final words, but the wheel in the sky keeps on turning, and I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. What say you?
That's a journey.
Happy birthday, Dale Earnhardt.
Yes, today is Dale Sr.'s, would have been his 73rd birthday.
All right.
Freddie, we might have to make that happen. We appreciate you so much for always commenting and staying loyal. And on a personal note, thank you for you becoming a hell of a friend, and thank you for watching my wrestling podcast as well. So with that, I got to take us home, folks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and germs, and, well, hopefully children aren't watching this show. So with that, we've enjoyed having you. We hope you enjoyed the great weekend at Dover. Kansas is coming up, heading to the heartland, if you will. Matt, thank you for coming on. Producer Peggy, thanks for tolerating me. And Adam, thanks for being you, you handsome stud. So with that, we will see you next week, we promise you. And until then, we'll see you at the next track.